Hello, this is Sam, Sam and Chris, and we'll be talking about our journey and vision in community wellness and wellness in general, what brought us here and what we see as the best path to the future. Without further ado, here are our questions.
If you could remove one thing from humanity, what would it be?
I would say that from a community wellness standpoint, you kind of have to look at what affects the community as a whole. I think something that's kind of had a significant impact is just kind of like the certain aspects of like the culture of our society nowadays. Everything's really rushed. A lot of value is sometimes placed on, I'd say, kind of unimportant things. Life is fast paced. A lot of times people can lose track of what can be really important. Making sure that you just kind of live life to the fullest, but it also like help other people, be supportive of a community is something I think as a whole we could do better at.
Thank you. I really like that. The first word that pops into my mind is greed, but then when I think about it, I think a lot of what we've done and the improvements we've made have been for greedy purposes. I think carried into excess, it has its downfalls, but desire is a driving force for humanity. So I think what I would really like to remove from humanity is the ability to see people as others, as not as human or as important as yourself, because I think that would enable a lot better dialogue and constructive work together. Now, in a little less intense, would you all like to tell me about your childhood, Jenny? Thing, interesting stories that led you and determined you here?
So personally, I've always been an agitated child. Like, I was always hype and like always doing something. I used to wear glasses and I lost them, broke them, and just like, yeah, and I feel like I had the freedom to like do a lot of things and just like be myself when I was young. So that's why I didn't end up being, I didn't end up being like a close person, but I just like end up being this person that's like very open with a lot of things, and just like my parents really didn't mind, like if they see me doing the weirdest thing, they would just like not say anything, just like drink water. So yeah, for me, like, that was my childhood, just like adventures and stuff. So yeah.
Awesome.
I would say my childhood was pretty normal. I kind of grew up in the mountains, so there wasn't, I mean, it was kind of a different sense of community. A lot of times I would be outside. You know, I really got to experience nature a lot that way, which was, you know, great. That was a blessing for me. I would also say that, I was just kind of a normal kid. You know, I went to elementary school and, you know, learned, you know, socially just by, like, you know, making friends, losing friends, like elementary school drama, but then also just kind of getting to enjoy. Now looking at like my life, I love being how old I am, but there's something in just being a kid and not having everything weighing on you because you're just not aware of it that I miss. So that's, yeah.
Nostalgia, man. Gets me every time.
Okay. What are you most grateful for, and how does it relate to wellness for you?
I would have to say people who call me on my bullshit. I don't really like it, but they've been some of the most important people because I can bullshit pretty well. And I can come up with 1,000 reasons not to do something. But in the end, these people, specifically like my mother, I did get headaches a fair bit as a kid. I got migraines and still do sometimes, but I take the slightest thing and say, "Oh, Mom, I can't work. I've got a headache. I can't do my homework." And in that gentle way that all ER doctors do, she said, "Suck it up, take an aspirin, and get back to work." And that really helped me. And, you know, in the moment, I hated it. And I always hate it when she tells me, "You're just being a child," because I know she's right. But it's what pushes me to be a better person. And I can't thank her enough for it.
What do you think is the greatest lesson you have learned on your journey?
Especially transitioning from high school to college, I just have learned so much. I would say that the single greatest lesson I really learned since I've been here is just the value of having empathy for other people. I would say that's one aspect of it, but then also kind of developing, you know, my own personal grit, or you know, you have to strive to push through this and be a person that finds a balance between being selfish and selfless. So, you know, not being too, you know, about myself, but also not being to the point that, you know, you're too selfless. And I've kind of come to realize that finding a balance between that is kind of key to being happy and successful most of the time, because you need relationships and you want to help build a great, you know, excellent community that just celebrates all the members in it.
I definitely say the greatest lesson I've learned on my wellness journey is I've become more aware of it has been that I need to take inventory of myself and how I'm feeling, and I need to be honest with myself. I can't just tell myself everything's fine when it's not, because that has led to me bottling up emotions, which, you know, never good, never fun, ruined 2 wonderful relationships and 1 terrible one, so it's been a mixed bag. But definitely just communicating more with myself so that I can honestly be more caring and compassionate for others, because when I'm feeling terrible, I don't do what's best. So I think that's the greatest lesson.
Are there any positive moments or memories in your life that shaped who you are today?
So, okay, there was this pair of shoes that I wanted for a long time. Like, I would see it everywhere. Like, it was all around me. And then every time I would talk to my mom, be like, can we please look at this? Like, can you please, like, buy me this? Like, please. And then she'd be like, no, let's just, like, keep moving and stuff. And, yeah, I never believed she would give it to me. And then, like, on my birthday, she just, like, gave me a pink pair of shoes. And those were the shoes I've wanted for months. So that is one of my happiest memories when I was a child. And I think it really shaped me in the way where, like, now I just take my time when I want to get something. Like, I just know when it's, like, the right moment for me to, like, even though sometimes I'm just like, oh my god, like, should I do this, like, should I get this now or whatever, but I just, like, learn how to take my time with things and just, like, figure out when it's the right moment to get what I want.
So I met this man, Josh Yancey, in my sophomore year of high school, and I didn't like him because he did a lot of the things I wanted to do, but seemingly without the doubts I had. And he was also very close to my best friend at the time, and I was a little bitter about it and, like, avoided him for a while. Didn't talk to him much junior year, didn't see him much most of sophomore year. But then senior year, we had two classes together. We had AP Biology and AP Literature, and we were sitting at the same table because he knew my friends Lucy and Miles, and I knew them too. And at first, I was not a happy camper about it. I was a passive-aggressive camper about it, because that's the best way to solve problems. But over that year, actually, not the whole year, just the first few weeks of being around him, I found an exuberance and an excitement and unbridled enthusiasm for literature and the wonders of the world. And it really awakened in me that I love that too. And it, like, his shining that bright somehow gave me permission to speak up more, to be heard more, to not, you know, shyly, like, scuff away my work. Got me to read and speak, and we grew close, and over the summer we became some of the best of friends. Me, him, and this one dude named Connor, who I lived with. He doesn't like the poetry as much as us, but he's fantastic to hang out with. And I think just the fact that I had this preconceived notion of him based on very little evidence, but then he turned into one of the most positive impacts in my life that really allowed me to just get a greater handle on who I am and what I want to do and what I love about life. And now I can wear that more confidently. And I think that was one of the greatest moments, is meeting him. Now, could I ask the two of you to tell me a favorite childhood memory? Or not even childhood, just any favorite memory, any special memory.
So for me, again, it was my birthday. I just love my birthday. And my mom had cooked, like, my favorite meal. And I went out with my stepdad, and he got me, like, the biggest cake. Like, we usually get, like, a normal cake, but that day he was just like, yeah, no, like, why are you getting that? Get that one. And I was like, what? So, yeah, we got the biggest cake ever, and it was a chocolate cake with, like, it was the best cake I've ever eaten, actually. It's like this, I don't even know how to describe it. It was so good.
And I remember I ate so much because it was my favorite food, not the cake, the food that my mom made. I ate it so much, I could feel it in my throat. So when I ate the cake, I didn't have space to eat the cake, but I had to because it's my birthday. So I was just like eating, and then it was just so much. I couldn't like, there wasn't like no space in my throat anymore. It was like, food was like right in on my tongue. And I was like, yeah, I still need to finish this. Like, I was so obsessed. Like, yeah, that was one of like my best memories. Like, I will never forget that cake because it was one of the best cake ever. And then the fact that I didn't mind just like dying because of food. Like, if somebody choked me, I'd probably die because there would be like no air in my throat for me to breathe and stuff. So it was crazy. So yeah. That's like one of my favorite memories.
Beautiful.
For me, I would say, I'm not sure if this is my favorite memory, but probably one of the most life-changing for me, I would say, is the day my senior year of high school, I became a volunteer at a hospital. And the day I started at the hospital was probably just something I'll never forget, because I kind of gained a new insight into in perspective on just how big the world is, how many, you know, problems people face, you know, on a daily basis, and how hard it can really be. And, you know, I got to meet, I was like kind of a assistant for a hospital, like a specific floor. So I got to meet like all the nurses and, you know, got a tour of the floor and stuff. And I was really excited. And it was just a great experience for the next, you know, few months, because I really became more mature and helped out with patients. And it was just a great experience. So I'll always remember just kind of like walking into the hospital and seeing everything. So
okay, so what would you tell yourself a year ago?
I have so much I would like to say to myself a year ago. I think this was the time I was getting all of my letters. I'd gotten my letter for DU, the school we're going to now, like a few months earlier. But I was holding out for Yale and Cornell, also Brown, because they just seemed like such lovely schools. And I kept telling myself that I'd definitely get into one. Because they'd called me back for like two interviews each, and I was told that was a good sign. But I got really hung up when I got waitlisted by all of them. And I think, honestly, I needed to hear from myself that I didn't need that affirmation, that I was good enough without it. I'd like to tell myself that ultimately what other people think of you at a certain moment isn't the end of the world, and that every different path you go on will lead to something amazing and something terrible. I'd also tell myself to apply for jobs now, because I didn't do that until like the very beginning of the summer and wound up with no money going into college. It was a great time. Don't answer numbers you don't know, especially when they offer things too good to be true. Don't smoke. Could use that one. Well, it's been messing up my lungs, tobacco, bruh. So, yeah, recently quit. I tell myself never to start. I'd also tell myself it's okay to ask for help, because that took me a while to realize. And, I'm sort of through with my shit now. Come on, 17-year-old Chris, why didn't you do better? So, yeah, I'd have a long conversation with him, but I don't want to bore you.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way when you say do better, because going through this year, I mean, I worked pretty hard in high school, but this, you know, the first year of college can be really tough on, like, a bunch of different fronts, and I've just gone, like, ups and downs this whole year. If I was to go back and tell myself something, I would say, just, like, to boil it down to three words, just don't sweat the small stuff. You know, you can't really change what is, and at the end of the day, what kind of seems like, you know, the end of the world now, 99% of the time, like 2 days down the road, you're not gonna even be able to remember, but it causes you so much stress in that moment that it just does way more damage than it should. So also just kind of, I think I also just kind of learned that you can just help by being a kind person. You know, everyone's dealing with something. So I always try to just keep that in mind. And I learned that even more here just because, you know, I've met so many different people and heard so many stories, so.
What is the greatest draw of community wellness for you guys?
I think it's just how I've been raised. I've been told all my life, you gotta help other people. Just from a very early age. My mother was very focused on it. My grandparents were very focused on it. My dad was much more focused on the academics, but, like, you know, the grandparents and my mother, they were hard about it. They wanted me volunteering as much as I can, and I loved volunteering. And, like, the church they took me to, which I still go to, I'm still a member of, it's First Congregational Church, Colorado Springs. Look it up, best church. We're a historic building, making a plug. But they always focused on loving other people and helping other people. And now I just can't see myself doing anything else. I tried being a business major for a bit, and that lasted a solid month. I'm not entirely sure why it draws me, but some part of me says it's what I've got to do, and that's the path for me.
Okay. So, okay, for me, I will say I've always, like, I grew up in the community. Like, I have a huge family, and since I have, like, step-parents, so I get their family too, so I was always around people, like, just helping each other and just being there for each other. So, I think I always try to just have, like, a little community around me, but just, like, where we can just, like, love and care for each other. we don't have to be there every time, but we just have to be there. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say.
Then I might ask both of you, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done, or just a funny story about failure?
So, personally, I've done a lot of, I don't know if they're dumb, but they're crazy, but I was supposed to, like, wake up this guy that I liked one morning, because he was, like, he's in the team, and then he goes to the school, and then... like that evening he was like going away, so, and I felt like I had to see him, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna wake you up on Thursday morning. And then he was like, yeah, my daughter's gonna be open. And when I got there,
his daughter?
No, it's the door.
I thought his daughter too.
No. The door, he said the door was gonna stay, he's gonna leave the door open for me to come in. And I remember I was like so scared, like when I was like, when I got to his floor, the entire floor was just dead quiet. No. So when I was trying to open the door was making so much noise. So, and I was just like trying to take a video to send to one of my friends and say, okay, I'm doing this. So when I opened the door, his roommate was sleeping. So I'm trying to like walk and close the door and not make any noise. And then I had to stop at the middle because I was like shaking. And I was so scared that his roommate was gonna wake up and just see me there. Like, what are you doing there? Because the person I came to see was like still sleeping. So I was just there. I would be a stranger, just like standing there. And you probably freak out. So I was trying to be like, I don't know. So I finally like was able to like touch him and be like, and trying to like shake him a little. And he finally woke up. And then when he woke up, I was like, okay, I gotta go. Because like it was too much for me. So yeah. So yeah, that was one of the dumbest thing ever, because like I didn't even go there. Like, I didn't even do what I went to do. It was basically like cuddling, but like I didn't get to do that because I was like so scared, and I was like, okay, I have to go. So yeah, that was funny and pretty crazy. Yeah.
Oh goodness, there's so many dumb things. It's like different like levels of dumb things too, you know what I mean?
Take your favorite.
So I'll say, yeah, this is pretty dumb. So last quarter, I'm in a sorority, so I decided to do a chair position for the sorority for like alumni. So that's just kind of, and I was planning this event, and I was supposed to go to this alumni meeting, and I'm actually in the wellness LLC too, and we had an ice skating event that day. Mm-hmm. So I was panicking because I was gonna have to leave the event early to get to the meeting on time to plan the event. So I like called this Uber driver, and he's like the craziest driver like I've ever had. Like I just don't even, he's so random, and I was just like, what is going on? So then we finally like get back to the dorm, and I'm like rushing. I'm like, this is so the end of the world. Then I go to the house, the sorority house, where the meeting was going to take place, and then there's no one there, right? The house, like, so then the president comes in, and I'm just like, oh, there's supposed to be this meeting, and I show her the email, and she's like, this is for next month on the 13th.
Oh, dang.
That was really bad. I felt really, I don't know. That was really bad.
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay.
It's all right. I would like to give one of mine here, because I found it funny when it was told to me by the person who witnessed it. So we were doing a drive-in movie event for this job I was working. We worked with a lot of children and like younger adults. So we were showing, it was either the Minions movie or one of the Despicable Me's. I don't really remember because I didn't see it. I was cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. We called them deluxe hamburgers to get $2 more out of them. It got them pickles and like any condiments they wanted instead of just a squirt of mustard and ketchup. It was fantastic. So me and all the other volunteers were dressed up in jeans and these yellow pocketed shirts. Everyone had a different one. We were given goggles. It was fantastic. We were all in character. They had just finished the movie and we were cleaning up behind the scenes, and I was handed this bucket of lemonade, and the person behind me said, "Yo, that's full, don't worry about it." But I thought it was like too light to be full, and I'm like, "No, don't mess with me." And then I pulled it up over my head because I was so sure it was empty. And it wasn't a lot of lemonade. It was just like a solid inch at the bottom of the Gatorade cooler. And it fell right on me.
Oh.
In the middle of the path of sight of the person who ran the event. And he pulled me aside later and was like, "That was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen. We just saw them do ridiculous stunts. And then I saw you chattering away with this one person. And then pouring something over your head to see if it was empty or not." And I'm like, "Yes, sir, all the improv comedy." And I kept my shame a secret until now.
How do you see yourselves 10 years down the road?
Well, I see myself with a baby, and yeah, I really want a baby by the time I'm like 29, the latest. And I've been saying that if I'm not in a relationship or married, I will go and get myself a baby by myself. And people think it's crazy, but I just really want a baby when I'm young, and just like, I just want a baby because it's a personal thing. I don't need the father.
But like, yeah, and I just see myself just like be independent and just still figuring stuff about life and men and why they are the way they are, and just like probably getting wine drunk every Friday night and stuff. But yeah, I just like see myself being relaxed and just taking what life throws at me way differently and just in a cooler way. And yeah, hopefully not too messed up. Yeah, I just see myself with a baby. That's all I have in mind. I just see myself with a baby in 10 years.
Oh, I second that. I'm also a little baby crazy. They're just so damn cute, man. Oh. Not yet, though. Not yet. Maybe when I'm like 23. I know, that's pretty young. But, yeah, I love them. I'd love to be an uncle, but my brother doesn't want kids. 10 years down the line, I would love to be an ambassador, but that is a stretch. So I'll go for diplomat, or, you know. No, I'd be too young to be president, wouldn't I? That's 35 years old. Dang it. I'll have to settle for diplomat. I like solving problems and negotiating. I'd really like to see myself continue to like run and keep up good habits. I'd want to see myself eating right. That's my biggest problem. I see myself as very driven to my work in 10 years, doing something I care about, something I love, helping people. With a baby or a child on my hip. My beautiful blue eyes just sparkling. It'd be lovely. Oh, I can imagine it now. On a more literal note, I would see myself in a mirror. And that's the end of my answer. I can't think of too much more I'd want in 10 years. Family and a nice job. So, as the closer, we'll keep it real light and real happy. What do you see as the single most dire problem facing humanity? And how would you change it?
That's nice and light.
Oh, of course. It's just casual conversation, you know.
Okay, wow. I mean, there's just so much, like, different aspects that go into it. I think the biggest problem is from ourselves, if that makes sense. I mean, sure, the environment is obviously a really big concern, but if we can't deal with ourselves first, how are we gonna, you know, make progress in other ways?
Could you elaborate on that?
So I kind of mean just, you know, conflict. It's just like all kinds of conflict between, you know, between countries, between people you see passing each other on the street, you know, in a city. It's just, I don't know, just building strong, strong communities, you know, being kind, just, there's so many problems, but I think it just starts with everyone kind of trying to be the change first, you know, being kind, empathetic, 'cause if you can just understand what, like, everyone else is dealing with something and, you know, just be kind and help, then you're already doing something to kind of make a difference.
All right. Well, this was a lovely interview. Thanks, both of you, for sitting down with me and for interviewing me as I interview y'all. It's been fantastic. And I look forward to our community wellness journeys and our wellness journeys in general. 10 years down the line, or just like at the end of these 10 weeks.
For sure.
Awesome.
For sure.
Well, thank you for listening to us. Good luck and good night.